Good morning, and welcome to the broadcast of the First Christian Church of Pittsfield. The First Christian Church of Pittsfield is committed to reach, teach, and empower people with the life-changing message of the gospel of Jesus Christ. The First Christian Church is located at 225 North Memorial Street in Pittsfield. Our phone number is area code 217-285-4129. Our service times are Sunday morning at 8 a.m. and at 10:30 a.m. in the sanctuary. Every Sunday morning, there is Sunday School Hour for all ages at 9:15. For more information or service times, you can visit our website at www.fccpittsfield.org or just simply contact the church office. Thank you for joining us this morning, and may God bless you.
About a guy named Daniel. He was an out-of-work actor. There are a few of them. And this guy was so stressed to find a job, he decided he would take any job, so he looked in the classified ad, and sure enough, wanted actor to play part of gorilla. So he was so desperate, he decided to go to the interview. The interview was in the regional zoo. So he went there, and turned out he decided to go ahead and take the job. And he was a little uncertain, and he felt kind of guilty about it, because apparently the zoo had spent so much money updating the habitats and the enclosures and the concession stands that the head of the zoo said, look, we don't have enough money to actually have a gorilla. So if you'd get in this suit and kind of be there and trick the people, we'd appreciate that. So he felt bad about it the first couple of days. And then he decided, a lot of people were there, so he kind of beat on his chest, and the crowd just loved it. And so he got that adrenaline rush, and so he started running around and rooting around and throwing grass in the air and swinging on the rope, and people loved it. And a crowd of people each day, the crowd got bigger and bigger, and he got more and more into it, and he's swinging on the rope and swinging on the rope. Well, he gets so carried away, he swings so high, he lost his grip. He went over the wall and fell into the lion's enclosure. Well, he looked up, and this lion got up and was looking at him very hungrily. And finally, Daniel couldn't take it anymore. He started screaming at the top of his lungs, help, help, I'm not really a gorilla. I'm just a man in a gorilla suit. Help, get me out of here. And at that time, the lion jumped and pounced upon him and said, shh, shut up. You're going to get us both fired. We're not talking that Daniel here today. The Daniel whom we are talking about, we're going to have to go back a couple thousand years to an individual who was the model of integrity. There are several things about Daniel. We've been studying Daniel, a very, very different Daniel. We invite you to go online if you haven't been with us, because there's some really great life lessons. Even though things happened several thousand years ago, there are we can draw conclusions, and we can add some great things to how we walk out our lives, because we worship the same God. Okay? Now, the Daniel in Scripture describes a man of personal integrity, a man of prayer, who encountered some very, very rough times in his life, but each time that he encountered difficulties, he refused to compromise, all right? And his commitment to God was such that God's favor was found in his life because of his dedication to the Lord. And so God did some amazing things through Daniel. So let's pick up. We're going to talk about the most famous Daniel story that there is, Daniel and the Den of Lions. So Daniel chapter 6, verses 1 through 4. If you have a Bible, please open it. If you don't have a Bible, there's one in your pew back. And if you don't own a Bible, please take this. Not that we're anxious to, flying, but we want people to have one. If you don't have a Bible you can write in, take that as our gift. We would love for you to take it. Have a Bible and write in it. Take notes. Otherwise, get an app. We use YouVersion. Feel free to download it, and you can look at that. Please just don't Snapchat bad pictures of me or things like that, and just be into your Bible instead. Daniel chapter 6, verses 1 through 4. It pleased Darius to set over his kingdom 120 satraps to be throughout the whole kingdom, and over them three presidents, of whom Daniel was one, to whom these satraps should give account, so that the king might suffer no loss. In other words, he had some organization in his kingdom. This new Darius has an organization in his kingdom, and Daniel's one of them, in fact, the number one guy. Verse 3, then this Daniel became distinguished above all the other presidents and satraps because an excellent spirit was in him, and the king planned to set him over the whole kingdom. Now, what have we learned about Daniel? Just a couple things. First of all, he refused to consume what everyone else consumed. He refused to, not just the food, but the way that he lived his life. He did not go along with the crowd. Boy, if there's a lesson for today, so many of us, we view and we justify our walk with Christ or our lack of a walk with Christ with what we see peripherally. We look around, we say, you know what? Because everyone else is slacking, or because, oh, you know, as long as I know that they're not doing it, yeah, it's no big thing for me. Tell you what, there's a power that's involved there. I appreciate when people step up to the plate, and I appreciate people who aren't just going to be the norm. Because quite honestly, the norm ain't really great right now, is it? The norm ain't really great. It is not, it's not setting the mark of integrity. I mean, sadly, we can look at the papers day after day after day and see, you know, people whom have been elected to positions of supposed to be of high regard, and we're shocked at the lack of moral character that's there. And I don't know, I get frustrated with it, don't you? Okay, so be the difference. So Daniel, he refused to go along with the crowd, but even in doing that, he wasn't a jerk. Okay, he was respectful. Everybody say respectful. Lost art in our day. It's a lost art in our day. He had a different set of values. He had a different experience. And yet, and I know it sounds like I'm trying to get some type of political agenda here, and that's not it at all. But I am frustrated at stuff that I see. Daniel, even though he disagreed with the lifestyle and with people around, he wasn't a jerk about it. Daniel was respectful. In fact, he looked at the places that God had him, and he was an example of integrity and respect, even when people were vastly different. He upheld God's word, even when it could possibly lead to difficulties in his life, and he spoke the truth when it was uncomfortable. Daniel was a wonderful example of honesty, as we studied last week. He did not embrace the same priorities and the values that the culture did around him. We've been studying that nearly every week. And thus, in doing so, he cultivated God's favor. You know, the X factor? Everyone's looking for the X factor. But I tell you, I got a great X factor. God's favor. There's been opportunities. I mean, I've been given some tremendous opportunities in my life that I don't deserve. I mean, I flat out don't deserve. And all I can attribute it to is God's favor. People want to say different things, and it's a powerful thing. What we're going to see with Daniel here is because of his integrity, he opens up. God wants to pour his favor on everyone. Okay, I believe that. I personally believe God wants to demonstrate His favor in each one of us. The question is for us, are we going to put ourselves in a position to receive it? Are we going to be in a position to sustain the favor of God? Now, when we walk as a model of integrity, do you think everybody else around is excited about that? Oh, look at Goody Two-Shoes. Oh, look at him. In fact, so don't expect the world to respect your values or God's favor in your life. Because, quite frankly, it's going to make them look down, make them look bad. You always have that one person who sets the curve. I mean, in college, we were like, oh, we hated it when that, or we had professors who always graded on the curve. And you always had that one nerd who'd walk in who's like, I don't miss anything. And you're like, thanks for blowing the curve. Because you make all the rest of us look bad. Sadly, that same culture exists. And so the person who decides that they're going to go the extra mile, the person who's not going to cut corners on the workouts when no one else is looking, become the objects of ridicule, sadly. Daniel's experiencing this. In fact, look at verse 4 and 5. Then the presidents and the satraps sought to find ground for a complaint against Daniel with regard to the kingdom. Here's the good news. But they could find no ground for complaint or any fault because he was faithful and no error or fault was found in him. Then these men said, we shall not find any ground for complaint against this Daniel unless we find it in connection with the law of his God. So they began to plot. I'd love to tell you that if you're a person of integrity, that you're not going to have a target on your back. But that would not be honest. It would not be true. In fact, when you are that guy, when you are that guy who says, you know what? I'm going to set the curve. I'm going to strive for excellence in everything I do. I'm going to be a person of integrity. You are welcoming a big target on your back. Don't knuckle down. We need more people like that. I would love to find somebody of integrous character to vote for. Anybody else? I don't care about the party. I want to vote for somebody of integrity. And I'm sorry for my political rant there, whatever. Daniel chapter 6, verses 6 through 8. Look what happens. Because they began to lay a trap for the godly guy. They began to lay a trap for the person who embraces excellence in all that they do. He say, then these presidents and satraps, they came to an agreement. They came to the king and said to him, O King Darius, live forever. I love how this comes. It's kind of dripping with that shmarm. You like shmarmy people? Is shmarmy even a word? Let's like Wikipedia that real quick. Is shmarmy a word? Smarmy? Well, that's not, there's smarmy, but I'm shmarmy. It's a little different. It's like dripping with a, oh yeah, you know, the guy who's always laying on so thick. Oh, you're my bestest buddy. And you know they're getting ready to put a knife in your back. Right? Listen, this crew right here. Oh, King Darius, live forever. All the presidents of all the kingdoms, of all the prefects and the satraps and the counselors and the governors all agreed that the king should establish an ordinance and enforce an injunction that whoever makes any petition to any god or man for 30 days, except to you, we are your guys, king. We're your number one fan. Well, the king fell prey to this scheme. And so they said, King, if the person does this, they're going to be cast into the den of lions. You know, the king fell to this trick of flattery. All this is all well and good. What does this have to do with our message today? Here's the point. Because as I began to look at Daniel, I had a totally different take on this than I've ever had. I've preached Daniel many times. I've never had the take that I had this time because of being involved with the lives and what's going on in y'all's life, okay? And that's this. Here Daniel did the right thing, and rough stuff happened. And then he persevered, and he got tested again, and rough stuff happens. And then he perseveres. We look at Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, okay? We look at them, and they persevere. They're models of integrity, right? And more stuff happens. And then Daniel comes back on the scene. And next thing you know, look, you're going to die if you don't say this right. How much is too much? God, why do you keep testing me? Why is it over and over and over? After all, if I pass the test once, if I overcome opposition once, if I sustain through the temptation once, I should be able to sit back in the Bahamas and eat lobster. My first point for us all today is a very, very important point, and that's this. Trials never, never, never stop coming. They're like the waves in the sea. And it's fictitious to think that we're going to have a life that never encounters opposition. And I will give you, there are times that you just survive the wave and you turn around only to get the next wave in your face. I love the ocean. To me, the ocean's a very settling thing. I'd love it. Even when it's cold, I get out there and they always make fun of me because I'll run all the way as deep as I can and embarrass everybody and just wait for that wave. And inevitably, there'll be waves and you think everything's fine and then a big wave will come. And you're like, ah, and you get wiped. And you're sitting there, you're like, goodness gracious. And the minute that one comes, you turn around and here comes the next wave. Why is life like that? Why do trials keep coming? Why does Daniel keep doing the right thing? He keeps standing. He keeps persevering. He keeps overcoming. And yet more stuff keeps happening. That doesn't seem fair now, does it? Am I speaking to anybody here today? It's called life, gang. And it has a whole lot to do with how we perceive life's trials. Because a lot of us automatically think this. We think that because trials come means we have done something wrong. Something negative happens. We get a bad doctor's report. Our company downsizes. We hit some relational struggles. And immediately, our brain, you know what? I'm out of pocket with God. I have brought God's judgment and curse upon me. Look, I'm going to say, absolutely, there are times that we can create our own drama. Anybody else in the room? We can create your own, you can create your own reality show. So as we said a few weeks ago, stop that. That's not what I'm talking about. What I'm talking about is a very real instance that trials come and they seem to never stop coming. And sometimes those trials have nothing to do with us doing something wrong. There's something greater. Sometimes the purpose of the trial is beyond our perspective to grasp. I remember talking with Joyce when she got the news. And she doesn't mind me sharing this. We've discussed this. And she's right on. When she said, I said, look, I know to get this news is rough. You know, if you have questions, God's big enough for your questions. And in her response, she testified accurately. She said, it's not mine to question. It's mine to trust. Courage, again, courage is not the absence of fear. It is the presence of confidence and trust. And for us as Christians, the presence of faith. Hard times will come. And sometimes, you know, we see great demonstrations of God's healing. And then there are other times that it's difficult. I told you this a million times. God healed Lazarus. But guess what? Later in life, Lazarus died. On a long enough time frame, we have to stop judging. The whole purpose of our faith in Christ is this is not it, gang. There's something greater. In fact, this life, it is so, the older I get, the more white my beard gets, the more I understand, man, life is quick. But this isn't it. I've seen the hand of God move enough times in my life and in the lives of people around, of loved ones. I'm full confident myself personally. I'm full confident that there is a God. I'm full confident that Christ is greater than any of our trials. But I know that, man, we encounter these times. And here, Daniel, how does he have this anchor? How is he able to shake it off? Here's how. Now, for my next point, I apologize. But I got to go Taylor Swift on us. Have you know Taylor Swift? Haters gotta hate, 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 hate. Anybody know that song? Oh, you're like, no, Pastor. We just have Amazing Grace on our hymn book. Yes, that's all that's on our iPhones. We don't know that. Who is this Swift you're talking about? Our feet run swift for... Okay, Taylor Swift, that famous phrase, haters gotta hate, blah, 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 blah. Okay, so I'm making up a word. I'm making up a Taylor Swift-esque word. And here's my Taylor Swift-esque word, and it just came to me like this. Prayers, it's not a word, but I'm making it up. Prayers, okay? We are prayers. And what do prayers need to do? Prayers gotta pray, 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 pray. And this is what we see in Daniel. This is what we see in Daniel. And I'm going to show you some things that maybe you've not seen before. Daniel chapter 6, verse 10. When Daniel knew that the document had been signed, by the way, back it up. Daniel knew what was being debated. He was number one. Do not Snapchat that dad just said Taylor Swift. Do not do that. Take that phone. I know that that was happening. Your sin has found you out. Bam! That just happened. You've been dad zoned. For those of you on the stream. All right. The deal is this. Daniel's the number one dude in the whole kingdom. He knows what was being discussed. And his prayers were not in such a way that he was rocked when this happened. I bet he was praying, Lord, don't let this happen. Lord, don't let this happen. Lord, what happens when you pray and the opposite comes to pass? Do we experience a faith crisis? I'd love to tell you that every person that I've prayed for, that their cancer would go into remission or that God would heal. I would love to stand up and tell you that God has done what I asked them to do, but it would not be honest. And of all things with Christ, we need to be honest. Amen. I'd love to pray that sometimes we wish and we hope and we have confidence that God will do X and God does Y. What do we do? How do we sustain that? It's that wave, and that wave keeps hitting. Here's what Daniel shows us. When Daniel knew that the document had been signed, he went into his house where he had windows to his upper chamber toward Jerusalem, open toward Jerusalem, and he got down on his knees 3 times a day and prayed and gave thanks before his God as he had done previously. Now, what are the last several words? As he had done... What's that last word? In other words, the best time to get your prayer life going is before the crisis, gang. And by the way, prayer, praise, and the Word keeps us plugged in and anchored when those waves come and the waves come and the waves come. Sadly, when we walk peripherally, we play defense. And I tell you, the walk of faith is not a walk of defense. We think it's a walk of defense. It's not. It's a walk of offense. Okay? The gates of hell are not supposed to prevail against the church, and the church is playing defense. We're sitting back waiting for the gates of hell to attack us. If you're going to storm the gates of hell, it means you're going on the offense. We've adopted this posture of sitting back and sitting back and sitting back, and then we become unplugged. We don't stay faithful in our prayer, in our praise, and in the Word, and we're unplugging ourselves, and then the storm hits and it rocks us all over the place. That's not how Daniel is. Daniel has been constant and consistent in his prayer 3 times a day on his knees. And he's doing this previously, and I bet you, and again, it's not in here, but I bet you, I'm willing to really debate hard that he was praying that this would not happen. And Daniel doesn't pack up his, he doesn't pack up his toys. He doesn't go on his Instagram and create hashtag Darius was duped. It's pretty slick. He doesn't sit there and go all passive aggressive. You would not believe the injustice that's been done. Look, I got 50 likes. I was retweeted. Yes, that must mean it means something. You know? He's more concerned with what's going on with God. You see, the truth Daniel understands is this. Prayer does not deliver us from the lion's den. And that's shocking to some of us because there's been books, there's been philosophies, there's entire veins of Christianity that now are based on this premise. This is how you manipulate God to do what you want. And I'm saying that is not Christianity. Christianity is not how can we manipulate God to do what we want. Christianity is saying, God, make me more like you. I'm here to do your will, not vice versa. It's powerful, guys. Daniel's got a hold of something, and it's creating God's favor. It is not exempting him from trials. So prayer does not deliver us from the lion's den. No, 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 no. Prayer sustains us through the lion's den. Prayer can help sustain you through that which takes others out. Man, that's a powerful thing. Look, if you are a prayer, you got to pray. You got to pray, 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 pray. I'm not going to dance. That would just be too weird. Okay. Daniel chapter 6, verses 16 through 26. Look what happens here as we go to our next and our final point. Then the king commanded, O Daniel, and Daniel was brought and cast into the den of lions. I don't think he prayed for that. And the king declared, Daniel, now listen to his words. May your God, whom you serve continually, deliver you. In other words, he kind of had some feelings for Daniel. He realized that this is a valuable asset. This is a good guy. He's something who makes things work well around him. He's trustworthy. The stone was brought and laid on the mouth of the den, and the king sealed it with his own signet and with the signet of his lords, that nothing might be changed concerning Daniel. Then the king went to his palace and spent the night doing what? No diversions were brought into him, and sleep fled from him. Then at the break of day, you know the story, the king arose, went in haste to the den of lions, and he came near the den where Daniel was, and he cried in a loud tone of anguish. The king declared to Daniel, O Daniel, servant of the living God, has your God, whom you serve continually, been able to deliver you from the lions? And Daniel says, true dat. Get me out of here. Let's not test the Lord anymore. Daniel said to the king, O king, live forever. My God, by the way, you are not my God. My God has sent his angel and shut the mouth of the lions, and they have not harmed me because I was found blameless before him and also before you, O king. I've done no harm. Then the king was exceedingly glad and commanded that Daniel be taken up out of the den. So Daniel was taken up out of the den, and no kind of harm was found on him, because he had trusted in his God. And then the king commanded that those men who maliciously accused Daniel were brought, and they were cast into the den of lions. This is crazy here, guys. They, their children and their wives, rough stuff here, hard to read. And before they reached the bottom of the den, the lions overpowered them and broke all their bones to pieces. This is PG-13 stuff here. Then King Darius wrote to all the people, listen to this, because this leads us to our last point. Peoples, nations, and languages that dwelt in all the earth, peace be multiplied to you, I make a decree that in all my royal dominion, people are to tremble and to fear before the God of Daniel. What is this really about? What are our trials really about, gang? I said, how do we need to perceive them? Here's how it is. The trials we go through have an impact on those around us. Now, before you twist my words, so you're telling me, Pastor, that God is like scheming on how he can put me through a hard time for somebody else? Do not put that word in my mouth. That's not what I said. What I'm saying is this. When you go through stuff, it might not just be about you. That God can use your situation, your hard time, to be a testimony for someone else. Okay? This is that silent testimony. Perhaps Paul puts it best. And let's all read this together, if you would, as we wrap up our message here today. Romans 8, 28 through 32. And we know that for those who... That's all of us, me and everybody. Ready? 1, 2, 3. And we know that for those who love God, all things work together for good. For those who are called according to His purpose. For those whom He foreknew, He also predestined to be conformed to the image of His Son, in order that He might be the firstborn among many brothers. Verse 30. And those whom He predestined, He also called. And those whom He called, He also justified. And those whom He justified, He also glorified. Big verse 31. What then shall we say to these things? If God is for us, who can be against us? I love that. If God is for us. Plural. Plural. Who can be against us? Now, it's great to make it personal. If God be for me, then who can be against me? But you're missing the primary focus. Us. 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 When do we think in our mind that God is against us? When stuff happens. When trials hit. When adversity comes. When adversity comes, gang, get out of the me, 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 me. Get into the us, 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 us. For some of us, that means breaking out of your shell. How many of you are blessed with what Joy shared today? I was. You know what? We had a long conversation. She's like, I gotta break out of my shell. This is uncomfortable for me to do. But our conversation was, look, it's not just about you. It's about the us. See, there are locks and there are keys all throughout our life and all throughout the church. We all have locks and we have keys, but we all keep them to ourselves. We don't realize maybe our testimony is going to unlock the potential of somebody else around you. Maybe our holding back is what's keeping somebody in check. Maybe there's someone around who just needs to see that example of someone willing to go the extra mile. This is powerful stuff, gang. There's a big lesson in Daniel's life. Trials come and they keep coming and they keep coming. But you keep praying and you keep praying. Your trials have an impact on those around. And in a culture that wants us to bend to ungodliness, my prayer for us all is that we remain unbowed. Can I get an amen? Let's stand to our feet and let's pray.
The First Christian Church of Pittsfield is committed to reach, teach, and empower people with the life-changing message of the gospel of Jesus Christ. The First Christian Church is located at 225 North Memorial Street in Pittsfield. Our phone number is area code 217-285-4129. Our service times are Sunday morning at 8 a.m. and at 10:30 a.m. in the sanctuary. Every Sunday morning there is Sunday school offered for all ages at 9:15. For more information or service times, you can visit our website at www.fccpittsfield.org or just simply contact the church office. Thank you for joining us this morning, and may God bless you.